This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
I'm delighted to be chatting to you today, guys, all about Duffy Circus. I know it's survived for absolute generations and generations. What keeps the family fighting to stay on the road despite all of the pressures that are out there nowadays?
What keeps us going is the legacy, our historical connection with Ireland. As we've said many times before, we've toured our circus for over a couple of hundred years, toured through a lot of different adversaries, including the two world wars, the War of Independence, Civil War, the Troubles, foot and mouth, a lot of that. But family and heritage and the legacy would be probably the main things, because it's been handed down from generation to generation. And now, there always seems to, like the circle of life, there always seems to be three generations of family, on the show at the same time. So, like my dad, who we do keep the show going for today, and that's why it's Tom Duffy's Circus and will always be Tom Duffy's Circus in Dad's memory. But like Dad passed away, and that left 4 years ago, so that left two generations. But then now I have a granddaughter of 18 months old, so we've got the three generations again. So our name, the legacy of my ancestors, generations gone before us, and the respect we have for what we do drives us on all the time, because, as we've said and said most recently, things are quite difficult at the moment. And, a lot of times, if you looked at it as a normal job, you'd maybe look at it a bit more rational and sensible and say, lads, maybe it's time to pull this, but that never comes into our heads, because, again, as we've said, it's not through the lack of support of public. We are still getting very good attendances, although obviously attendances have dropped this year, with the price of living and that. But it's, again, what we've said before, the local authorities, lack of support from government level. They're the things that's, are mostly what's putting our industry in jeopardy.
Yeah, I think for myself, I wasn't born into circus. I've married into this family, but I've been working in circus for 17 years. And personally, I think that as a contribution to the arts and culture, they provide a surface unlike no other. Circus is often a child's first experience of live entertainment, arts and culture. We know that the data reflects that, a child can't go to the theatre till they're three. They don't go to the opera till the ballet. And it's really the only thing that you can sit there with your newborn baby and great-great-granny and four generations of the family can enjoy this entertainment together. And it visits rural areas across Ireland as well. So places where maybe there's absolutely no funding, or they're underserved in arts funding by the government. So that's something that I think needs to be protected and safeguarded, because of the nature of the touring of the business. It allows families who maybe wouldn't otherwise have access to arts and culture to affordably go and see a show and see lots of different types of people, a really diverse cast of performers, Irish and international award-winning artists right there on their doorstep. And I just think there's something so magical about that, that we've a huge responsibility to continue to provide, the ability for families to access that way into the arts.
You're so right.
And obviously, some people obviously think it's important because, circuses and fun fairs are now protected by UNESCO as an intangible cultural heritage, So again, when that was actually, when that was awarded to us, that status, we actually thought that would open a lot of doors within local authority and that, but ultimately it didn't, which is unfortunate.
I know I've seen an article that you've done with the Irish Independent where you've mentioned fears about surviving beyond October. Mm-hmm. What is the key thing that needs to happen now to alleviate that
fear? I think the issue lies that there's there's a lack of awareness and education and understanding of what circus is today in a modern world. So even though we are a traditional circus, we operate in a contemporary world to best practices, highest standards, highest safety practices. We've got 150 wheelchair accessible seats, wheelchair friendly toilets, a free ear defender scheme. We're one of the only circuses in the country to do sensory friendly relaxed performances. We are so accessible to multi-generational and diverse audiences because it's non-verbal form of storytelling. But lots of the parks departments and the events department in counties across Ireland, they've little to no interest in understanding what circus is in a modern context, and they seem to have an outdoric and historic outdated sense of what we are and what we do, and they seem to have reservations about allowing access to private sites. So in past years, we would have previously visited maybe 50 to 60 sites a year. We would do maybe 1 and 2 day stands. So we would travel through the night, build up 2 shows, pull down, travel, build up, you know. So we would go into small towns with very, very minor populations who have no art centre, no theatre, no dance provision sites. So now we've kind of dropped to about 30 sites a year, because sites that have been held, you know, in families for generations are being sold to land developers, because those families that own that land are also facing a cost of living crisis. They can't afford to keep the land. And there's a housing crisis in Ireland at the moment as well. So property developers are swallowing up all the little bits of land. So we rely, let's say of the 34 sites we do a year, less than 5 of those are public owned land on our tour. We rely entirely on privately owned sites, and those sites that David's dad and David's grandfather have been liaising with families over the generations are disappearing.
Not in mine.
Yeah.
You know.
So we're asking for, at a local level, sites to be identified that are suitable for circuses. We operate to a leave it as you find it practice. We leave a safety deposit. We're well versed in practices to mitigate any risk of ground damage, which, you know, is something often cited, but we know what we're doing. We're the best in the business in the country, and it wouldn't be in our interest to leave a site you know, in worse condition. So we want to build kind of positive ongoing relationships with local authority. We have great relationship with the arts office, who, and the heritage department, who are really, really, you know, positive in their response with us. And like recently, the heritage officer from Dublin said, you know, Duffy's are internationally respected. It's a historic, like the intangible cultural heritage inventory in Ireland has accepted the traditional circus families into that as part of their contributions to arts and culture. We also have, it's what's called the Big Top label. So it's an independent organisation based out of the European Union in Brussels. And they come out to inspect the circus. They've got a big list of kind of a framework where you have to meet certain standards. Somebody comes out to inspect you. It goes back to a panel of 12. And we were awarded that. It's essentially the Michelin star of the circus world. To say that, you know, our practices are best standards, but every county council has a different method of procuring a site, and there's very little education within the department, or it just kind of happens to be, if you manage to get in touch with one person who has a bit of an interest or an inkling, maybe they have a family or maybe they've been to the circus. But there's a lot of people who haven't been to the circus in the last 10 or 15 years.
This is true.
And they don't know that we've got, you know, this theatre standard, well lit, like raised sprung stage flooring, acrobats, but like all the traditional stuff, but modern stuff too.
Yeah.
And like we understand their fears, because that's where the no is coming from. They're not letting us in because they have fears. We understand that. But there's no opportunity being given to us to have an open and transparent conversation where we can kind of say, tell us what your reservations are. Let us have that conversation. We'll talk to you about how we can mitigate any risk of damage to sites, because that's just not in our interest and it's not what we do.
Many circus families as well, I know, like as yourselves, they describe it nearly more than a job, but it as a way of life. This is how you've grown up. What would be lost from society if Duffy's Circus was to disappear beyond October?
Well, for us, again, it's a family tradition. We're not saying, okay, there is another family tradition, you know, other than circus, but it's the thing that really keeps us, like, it gets us up in the morning. My dad had cancer of the colon when he was my age, which is 65, and my dad was given 6 months to live after the operation, and my dad virtually told the doctors that he'd get back to them because it just wasn't suitable for him at the moment. It was inconvenient because he had just had a grandson born, and dad wanted to be there to see the legacy passed on to him. So, like, my dad, again, he lived another 30 years after that, even though, again, he had a kidney taken out for cancer 4 or 5 years after the initial operation, and was back as ringmaster the next few days. In early January this year, just as we finished our Christmas tour in Tala, I had a stroke, and that's why my voice is still a little bit slurred. Again, as Candice would tell you, I don't remember that much, but Candice said while I was having the stroke, I was still trying to organise things on the show so the show would go ahead the next day. So there's that passion and commitment and, the legacy and the promises that we've made. I promised my dad when my dad was actually passing away, a few weeks before dad passed away, I promised him that his name would never be forgotten, that his legacy would never be forgotten. So, I mean, I don't want to be the failure. I don't want to be the one after seven generations that it finishes on my watch. So it's really important. And I mean, you know, we are facing, and everybody's facing their own battles at the moment. But even at the moment, in the short term, I mean, for the last 5 years since COVID, we've been actually doing a Christmas show where we combine a Christmas pantomime with the circus, and it's been very successful. But now, like, the ground that we used to play at Tala Stadium is gone, the car park, because of extra fixtures. So this year, we don't actually have a ground at the moment. So actually, I will take the chance while we're talking to you to ask if anybody in the Dublin area has a hard ground around the size of a football pitch that would like to have Tom Duffy Circus for Christmas.
Change our life.
It would be the end of my life as I know it.
I think as well, like, that's for us, that's a very personal way of looking at it. But I think for the communities of Ireland who have for generations, because we get so many stories from audience members who say to us, I'm here today with my grandchildren. It's been a long time since I've been to the circus. I haven't been since I brought my kids. And I used to come with my parents. Everybody that you meet in every community has a story about visiting the circus when they were younger. So this isn't just our circus, this is the people's circus. This is something that they've done. It's nostalgia, it's a form of escapism. Circus is like a microcosm where you've got performance art, theatre, acrobatics, often live music, all in one room, all happening at the same time. And the Duffy family, along with the other traditional circuses, have been providing, you know, multiple generations of families a living wage to perform and work in the arts sector. This needs to be protected. I came from a dance background, and it's inspiration for today's youth. You said yourself just before we started recording about, you know, going to a circus camp when you were younger. It's a great tool for social skills, for trust building, for learning to work as a team and collaborate together, and time management and dedication, because it's hard work. It's an athlete's role, you know, to be a performer. And it gives people hope that, for those people that do want a career in the arts and a future in circus, because there are many circus schools across the country.
Plenty.
And we have a lot of performers here who are not from traditional circus families, who weren't born into circus. This is their life as well. This is their livelihood. This is their full-time career. They've dedicated years and years of their life. And we provide a backdrop to facilitate that and to nurture that. And we do workshops for photography and for life drawing as well, because circus is inspiring across the art sector as a form of inspiration for, you know, even back as early as the 1910s, where Jack Yates painted Duffy Circus, and those paintings are now in the National Gallery of Ireland. And that form of circus as a popular icon, as popular culture, remains embedded in the psyche of the Irish people. And they've got a great knowledge about circus.
Yeah, we
it's
do.
It's something that you do, you know, when you're in England, you hear people say, we're going to the circus. But when you're in Ireland, you hear people say, to Fawcett's, to Duffy's, to Jabot. They know the families, they know the brands, you know. They have a really good understanding of what circus is.
Candice, David, before I let you go, if there's someone listening this evening who, you know, has been really moved by the passion that you guys speak about this, because it, sincerely, you can tell that this is more than any job, I use job in inverted commas, this is your lives. How can we help support you guys over the next while? What can we do to help?
Contact your local office, contact your councillors, email the parks department and ask them, can they identify what sites are available for circuses? Do they have provisions to allow circuses on public land?
And why they won't give them?
Yeah, and what are their reservations? And ask your local councillors, will they reach out on the behalf of the communities to ensure that parks and local authority are considering how, as intangible cultural heritage, they are making steps to, you know, promote, cherish and safeguard what is a huge service to the communities in the arts.
Yeah, because like on the bottom level, you know, when you say how can people actually support us, we have seen this hugely in the last 2 weeks since we gave the story to the Sunday Rodney. Independence and the Sunday Life, was it, and the Impartial Reporter. Our attendances have absolutely leapt, and people are coming up to us and saying that they, despite everything, despite, you know, the lack of money, despite the situation everybody's in, that they've made the effort to come out and support the show. And I've had loads of people every day, every night after the circus saying, we made the effort. And on our Facebook page, you'll see, rather than comments of, yeah, we were at the circus, it was a great show, we enjoyed it, there's comments now, please go and support this circus, it's well worth going to, we need to preserve it, you know. So from a ground level, you know, people are buying a ticket, which is obviously a big help. But you know, when we've seen that, you know, we'd be lucky to survive until October, it's mainly down to the local authorities. It's to give us locations that we can economically, you know, perform in, and we you know, that we can make a living out of, because there's a lot of rural towns that we still find that we have an obligation to go to, because as Candy said,
that's our mission to provide,
but we don't actually make a lot of money in those places with the price of fuel and diesel and, you know, maybe the small population. So we need the bigger towns and cities for us to be able to subsidize doing that. So one feeds off the other. It's not just, it's no way it's a question of just making more money to line our pockets. It's to accomplish what we've been born and reared to do, and what our family and what our generations have been doing for hundreds of years, you know.
So, David, in the next few weeks now, we've got a small break and then we're heading back around Dublin.
Yeah, well, I mean, the week after, the week after next up until the 21st, we're in our hometown of Navan.
That's where we live in the winter. So.
And then we have a 2 week break, and then we're open in Drogheda, and then we go up then to the northwest to Sligo and Castlebar and all those areas, Bundoran. So, please, people that do, if they do see us, if they do see our posters up, they see Tom Duffy's posters up, please come and visit us, because it is, you know, despite it. It's a fantastic show.
Well, guys, I'm so grateful that you came on and chatted with me this evening on iRadio's group chat about all of this. And I hope that everything you've shared about how people can help and how much you've highlighted about the importance and the wonderfulness of a circus has really led people to wanting to help you guys out even more this evening. And I wish you guys the best of luck. And thanks for joining me on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service call.